Food security continues to be a major concern across the 9 countries of the Sahel. A humanitarian appeal has been made for the region due to a lack of funding caused by crises around the world also requiring significant attention. According to Robert Piper, the UN's Assistant Secretary General and Regional Humanitarian Coordinator for the Sahel, funding towards food security and agricultural development play a key role in helping the millions of people suffering in the region. Mr. Piper, thank you for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
The situation in the Sahel has deteriorated significantly this year. Nearly 5 million more people have joined the ranks of food insecure since the beginning of 2014. That brings the estimated total to 24.7 million, which is more than double 2013. Why is that?
It's a combination of factors. The first is those that are suffering from a chronic emergency across the Sahel, driven by various very structural reasons to do with climate change and so forth. These numbers continue to swell year on year. We don't need a drought, unfortunately, to increase the numbers of the food insecure and the acutely malnourished. Alongside that, it's been a very bad year in terms of physical security. The situation's deteriorated dramatically in northern Mali, in northeast Nigeria in particular, and of course Central African Republic, which is not a part of the Sahel, but has pushed several hundred thousand people into the Sahel seeking refuge. So both on the chronic side and on the acute side, the situation has deteriorated.
What needs to be done to address these problems and their underlying causes?
This is the drama of the Sahel, is this increasingly vulnerable group of 20 to 30 million people who require a very small push only to find themselves in crisis. For them, we have to be very clear, the drivers of this crisis are structural. It's about climate change, it's about demographic growth, and it's about access to basic services, particularly health and water. It's about governance and to what extent these households and communities are getting the attention they deserve by government policymakers. So we can respond and we must respond in the short term with emergency tools to save the lives of these people, but we mustn't kid ourselves. The solutions, the long-term solutions, require governments and their development partners to put in place the right policies and the right investments. For the acute group, we need to see conflicts addressed successfully. We need the Security Council, we need the African Union to engage in trying to help countries like Mali with its crisis in the north, and Nigeria with an ever serious crisis in its northeast, come to terms with these conflict trends.
What has been done so far?
Well, we've received funds of about $1.1 billion so far on an appeal of $1.9 billion. With those funds, 2 million people have already received life-saving assistance across the region. 1.3 million farmers and agro-pastoralists have had agriculture and livestock assistance. And we've treated 1.8 million acutely malnourished children. This gives you some sense of the work that's been done, but it is well short of what we set ourselves as tasks and objectives at the beginning of the year, unfortunately, and resources have not been sufficient to achieve all that we really needed to achieve.
And how can agriculture contribute to reducing food insecurity and building more resilient livelihoods?
Well, the vast majority of people across the Sahel, of course, are dependent on agriculture or pastoralism. This is where they get their livelihood from. It's the most important issue to get this right. Clearly, more people need to be assisted. Agriculture needs to be more productive. And the irrigated coverage, for example, in many of these countries, they have so little water, but what water they have are not harnessing very efficiently. There's a lot that can be done to improve productivity and so forth. It's also true that we need to diversify livelihoods, that people need to certainly move off the land, perhaps, and there is this drift towards towns, but even staying in rural areas, but finding other ways to make a living is probably the reality in a region with such fast demographic growth and limited resources. The climate has certainly become an enormous issue for farmers and pastoralists. The patterns that were once there have disappeared in terms of rainfall. It's not that we've had a drought, in fact, since the early 80s. The rain is coming, but it's coming at different times each year in different places in different amounts. For the farmer or the pastoralist, it's becoming so much less predictable and therefore so much harder to navigate all of this uncertainty. To some extent, then also for farmers, the kind of seeds that may be less productive but more predictable in an unpredictable climate is also part, surely, of the solution.
Going back to the appeal now, what is being asked for?
We're asking for resources that are more evenly spread. We have a very uneven balance of funding. So money is generally available for food, but rarely for emergency agriculture. Money is generally available for nutrition, but rarely for health and water and sanitation. But those other interventions are very preventive and very key to reducing the number of people that need food next year, or reducing the number of children that need to be treated for acute malnutrition next year. So we certainly would like to close the gap. We're $800 million short of what we require.
This is a difficult question, but there are a number of people suffering around the world due to varying crises. What are your thoughts on asking donors to channel funds to the Sahel at this time?
Last thing I'm going to do is enter into a competition with other crises around the world. The people of South Sudan, of Central African Republic, of Syria are equally deserving, needless to say, of emergency assistance as anyone in the Sahel. So it's not a race to the bottom as far as I'm concerned. These are all important crises. These are all big regions and they each deserve attention. The resources we're talking about are globally, you know, a fraction of what is spent on less productive goals. We're asking for a fraction of those kind of resources to save people's lives. It's not too much in a region of 145 million people, the Sahel, a region of people who are paying a very high price for climate change, for which they are absolutely and utterly non-responsible. They have contributed nothing, and yet they pay a very, very high price for consumption patterns in other parts of the globe. There's no justice there. We're asking for this region to be given the priority that it deserves, but not forever. It's clear that we need to work quickly to save lives in the short term and ensure at the same time that these long-term issues are addressed. The emergency work, sadly, is still with us, and it's far too early to give up on the Sahel.
Mr. Piper, thank you once again for your time today.
Thanks for having me.